guys. We're going to continue in our chapters of Hebrews. We're getting through this this series, Author and Finisher. Only a few more chapters left. And it's kind of taking a turn this week because we're not really focusing on, you know, the priesthood and the tabernacle and the blood and the sacrifices and the new covenant. The author thoroughly covered those topics, and you can study back, and I hope you do study this book. But it's going to be looking a little bit more towards faith and faithfulness, and really beautiful chapters, especially chapter 11, where we are right now. It's a beautiful chapter, one of probably the premier chapter in the entire Bible on the topic of faith. But before we dive in, let's just take one step back to where we were last week and look at one verse from Hebrews chapter 10. I love this verse because it's about coming to church, and I'm all about that. So Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Let us not give up meeting together. And that I can't emphasize enough. And I just want to remind you, it's so important that we come to church, not just that we attend, but that your presence is here, because your presence in this body is irreplaceable and invaluable. And it's not just, hey, I heard the worship and I heard the sermon, I'm good, out the door. We're part of a body. The people you greet, the people you fellowship with, the relationships that you have, and to be part of what the Holy Spirit is doing, to see and hear and be part of what's going on. The early church met every day in Acts chapter 2. We meet once a week and then sometimes midweek. But I just want to remind you that, you know, it's so important, not to me, but to you and to each other. I gave the analogy of the campfire, right? There's a blazing campfire, and if you take one of the coals or a log and pull it away from the campfire, well, the campfire keeps blazing, but the coal or the log goes dead. And we have to stay. Two or more gathered in his name, he's in the midst. It's the synergy of the Holy Spirit. And I love the fact that we have an online service, but let's face it, online just doesn't cut it. Someone said to me, watching church online is like watching a fireplace on TV. You know, it's good, but you don't feel the warmth. You know, you don't experience it. So let us not give up meeting together. And you guys already know that because you're here. But I'm speaking to you that normally sit in these empty seats. Let us not give up meeting together. All right, let's get into Hebrews chapter 11. One of the most unique chapters because it defines and discusses and gives examples of faith. And the first verse alone is the quintessential verse about faith worth memorizing. It's poetic. It's descriptive. I hope that you've memorized it. And if not, that you will today. I'll read it first in the NIV, and then we'll go to the King James Version, which is the more popular version. But Hebrews 11:1 says this: "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Now, the more popular version in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, King James and New King James, it says this: "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Let me hear you say the first part. Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
And the
evidence of things not seen.
So important. Faith is the substance. It is the evidence. Substance, evidence. Substance. It's in the Greek, it's the word is hypostasis. It's this reality, this foundation, this assurance of something. It's it means that it's real. This is a foundational part of what we are building our lives upon. It's not just ethereal. It's not just figurative. So it's like faith gives this solid foundation, substance, and then evidence. But if you think about substance, it's almost like you have it, but you can't see it. It's real. It's absolutely secure, but it's not in your purview. It's like when you buy a house. I remember when we bought our first townhouse with our girls, we went to the lawyer's office and signed a bunch of papers. And then at the end, we walk out and we say, "We just bought a house." And they were 4 years old. They're like, "Where? How? When?" "Yeah, we own a house. We own a townhouse." They couldn't figure it out until we drove there and said, "This is it," you know. But we owned it before we saw it. And that's how it is with faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, but it is substantial. If you've ever bought something online, you know, you buy it, you make that purchase, you get that confirmation email, and you're like, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. That favorite shirt or that tool or whatever it is. Now, it hasn't arrived yet. And if the company is reliable, then you know it will come. But you have something changes from not owning it to owning it and knowing that even though you don't see it, it is coming. That's faith, is the substance of things hoped for. Our faith is built on God's character and his reliability. And then the second part is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence, proof of certainty. So faith serves as proof of what you physically can't see. In other words, it doesn't ignore reality. It's not fantasy. It acknowledges a greater reality, right? It's the confident inner conviction. What God says is more true than what my eyes can currently see. And when you get to that point where you say, God, what God says is more true than what my eyes can see, you're walking in faith. Practical example, all around our communities, if you live anywhere near farm communities, you know that they have already probably sown the seeds that they'll be harvesting later in the year. So there's an old farm expression, it's all in the dirt. It's all in the dirt means they actually went and tilled the soil, planted the seed, and now they're waiting, right? They're fertilized. They do the things. But they've done something, and now they believe that crops will grow because that's just how it is. God made it that way. And it's the same thing with faith. It's like we know it will happen. We don't see it yet, but we're already planning on where we're going to sell the crops, even though they haven't popped out of the dirt yet. This is how biblical faith works. It's not, listen, it's not baseless hope. It's not baseless hope. It's faith in the reality of God's reliability. All right, so that's what faith means. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, verse 2 says this. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed and God's command, at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Such an important verse. What is seen was not made out of what was visible. God spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light, let there be land, let there be animals, let there be people. Spoke it. It wasn't like he just rearranged particles of a pre-existing universe. He spoke it into existence. Everything started from nothing. In theology, it's ex nihilo. It means out of nothing comes everything. Because God spoke. This is what faith is. He could see it. He spoke it into existence. And when we look at the word faith, I know it's mysterious to some level. It's kind of a word that we say, we talk about our faith. This is my faith. I have faith in. But I want to bring it down to a very relational word. And you heard me say this before, but it's so important. Trust. Trust. Trust is the very essence of faith. In fact, faith and trust, or trusting, are identical words in the Greek. It's all from the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and you could use it for faith, you could use it for trust or trusting, and it's interchangeable. You could pull out the word faith and put the word trust anywhere in the New Testament, and you will have not changed the intent of the verse. Faith sounds a little more religious, I guess. Trust sounds a little more relational. I like how the Complete Jewish Bible uses it in this particular verse. The Complete Jewish Bible is a Bible written by David Stern in Jerusalem, and as much as he's able, he puts Hebrew words in, or you know, kind of clarifies certain words. And when he writes Hebrews 11:1, listen how Hebrews 11:1 through 3 sound in the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, "Trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about what we do not see. It was for this scripture that scripture attested the merit of the people of old. By trusting, we understand that the universe was created and through a spoken word of God, so that what is seen did not come in without a pre-existing phenomena." By trusting. And then when he goes to the hall of faith, which we're about to do, he uses the word, by trust, Abel did this. By trust, Enoch did this. By trust, Noah did this. By trusting. And think about this. When we lack faith, we're really lacking trust. Do you trust God? And if you do, and I know you do, that means you have faith in God. Faith in God. All right, so now we get into verses 4 till the end, and this is what is called the Hall of Faith. I love this part of Hebrews. The Hall of Faith. It's almost like we go through a museum, and I'm the curator, and I will say, here's Abel. Look what he did. Here's Enoch. Look what he did. Here's Noah. Look what he did. Here's Abraham. Look what he did. One by one by one. There's 15 stops, so we'll have to do it quickly. So gather around. Let's go. We're going to go through the Hall of Faith together, and remember, faith and trusting could be interchangeable as we speak about faith. So starting with Hebrews 11:4, we're going to talk about the sons of Adam and Eve, and it says this: by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he's dead. All right, so we're referring to Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. Abel was a shepherd who offered God the best of his flock, while Cain was a farmer and offered just some crops. God accepted Abel's offering, rejected Cain's, and Abel is remembered as righteous by offering the best. His example still speaks to us today. The next one, Enoch, Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so he didn't experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So what we know about Enoch, as this is Genesis 5, is that he walked faithfully with God. And he was commended for his faith by walking faithfully with God. And it actually says in Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God and was not. he was walking with God and then he was not. He was taken up. God took him up and he went to heaven without dying. And this is, he's commended for his faith. All right. Move on. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's take that verse. You want to set it aside. I want to get back to it later, but let's look at Noah, Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. All right, this is our buddy Noah who built the ark when there was a flood. This is Noah, and he knew a coming flood was coming, even though it had never even rained before. God's telling him to build a vessel that no one even could understand, but he did it by faith, and by faith, he was able to save his family and really all the species of animals on the earth. He's commended for his faith. You see how this works? By faith, these people lived, they acted. That's why they're remembered in the Hall of Faith. Let's go to the father of faith in the next verse, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive in his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he didn't know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. And then we'll talk about Sarah as part of his section too. And by faith, verse 11, Sarah, his wife, who she considered him, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is as good as dead. That's how old Abraham was. I hope nobody's saying that about me, but so this one man who's as good as dead, basically, he's 100 years old, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. You see, by faith, they had children. God spoke, said it's going to happen, and it did. It highlights Abraham, Sarah. This is Genesis 12 through 21. You could read this. He heard this call. Abraham did. He was living in the land of Ur, heard this call. Lech lecha, go ye out. And he did. Where am I going? To a land you don't know. go to a God he couldn't really define right away. Just go. And he did. He's 100 years old. Sarah's old as well. You're going to have a son. First, she laughed. But he received his son. And all of this is done by faith, commendable faith. That's why the author of Hebrews is giving you these examples. Not to say, look how great they are. Too bad you'll never live that way. No, it's to encourage our faith. He talks about it here in this next three verses. He says in 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things they promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He keeps talking about this city. And each one of these people had a relationship with God. They lived by faith, but God was not just a religious concept or some unknown deity that they paid homage to. They served him. They knew God. He was their father. And that's why God said, I'm not ashamed to call them mine, my own. They had a relationship. Remember, they trusted him. All right, it goes on. Hebrews 11, 17. Again, we're going to talk about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So Abraham reasoned that God could even raise from the dead this son. So in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Very hard chapter, Genesis chapter 22. God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son. But it's the same son that he said the promise of descendancy is going to come through. So what gives if I kill him? How could that happen? It's kind of key. And the reason Abraham was willing to, he never did, was willing to go through with it because he knew that this son will live and bear children. So even if he dies here, God will raise him back to life. Now, we don't see that in Genesis 22, but we do see it here in Hebrews 11. And so Abraham was willing, and God commended him. That's, I believe, why Abraham's called the father of faith. He showed just tremendous faith in God, Abraham. And then let's talk about Isaac. Next verse. Isaac is in Hebrews 11, 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. That's all it says. But basically, we see that Isaac knows that Jacob and Esau will have a future. The promise will go to the next generation. So just by blessing them, he showed faith. Same thing with Jacob. In the next verse, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on his staff. That's how old he was. He's dying. And he says, before I die, in faith, I'm going to bless that Joseph's sons, both born in Egypt, will have a part of God's promises and blessings. The next verse is Joseph himself, Hebrews 11, 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Isn't that interesting? Because his family had left Egypt. Now they are honored guests the promised land. They're honored guests in Egypt. And Joseph is saying to them, when you go back to the promised land, after I die, bring my bones with you, so I can be buried in my homeland. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, it happened. But Joseph, by faith, spoke that in confidence. And then Moses did come around, but first his parents. This is the next verse of this chapter. Chapter 11, 23, by faith, Moses' parents. Those are the next ones. They hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. All right, the Pharaoh said, kill all the Jewish babies, the Hebrew babies, the boys particularly. But Amram and Jochebed, those are Moses' parents, in their wisdom, they knew God had a purpose for Moses. So they defied the king and they hid him in a basket and sent him down the Nile. And then Moses is the next one, Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded, listen to what he says, disgrace for the sake of Christ. Moses, Christ, yeah. Christ means Messiah. Moses prophesied about Messiah. Disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking, again, ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. I love that. He saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. All right, it's a lot about Moses here. But by faith, Moses did what he did. He knew God had a purpose for him, and he defied the Pharaoh. He went forward and led them out. And how did he do this? Because he hoped a lot? Because he was brainwashed? Because he just trumped up his aspirations? No, he did this by faith. Again, these are examples of people who live by faith so that we're encouraged to also live by faith. And think about the people themselves that Moses led into the right up against a sea. It opened up and he said, go through it. Can you imagine that? Well, that's what the writer says in verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. And again, even the people themselves, as Moses led them into the wilderness, they acted in faith. Sometimes you have to step in faith into ground that looks a little shaky, doesn't seem like it's safe. But if God leads you there, it is. By faith. All right, we're getting there. You guys good? You need a bathroom break before we finish the tour? Okay. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. And we're talking about Joshua in Joshua chapter 6. The Israelites obeyed God's unusual command. Don't just go and besiege the city, but march around it, blow the trumpet. And by doing that, the walls fell and they conquered the city. They were obedient because of faith. And now the last one, Rahab. And I love that this unsavory woman was preserved, her memory here, and honored in the hall of faith. And it says in Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And there she was. She would have been killed had she not welcomed the spies and recognized them as being from God, sent from God, trusting in Israel's God, not her own God. And she was not only spared when the city was destroyed, but get this,